We appreciate the praise team, the musicians, the instrumentalists, the narrator. Also remember our AV team running the sound and slides for leading us on this journey of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, as he has risen from the dead. You can give them another hand, just let them know they work really hard. And they really have taken us through the journey of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and talks about why it's important. But why is it important? Isn't it enough that Jesus died for our sins? After all, Isaiah wrote 400 years before Jesus died on the cross in Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. He wrote this, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." So God tells us in this prophecy exactly what is happening here. And how does it happen? Verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So when we talk about this passage, what we see is there's a heavenly transition that happens on the cross. And that what we find out is that we are lost in our sin and our iniquity. It blocks our relationship with God. So let's just say this is us and God is up here, and it is our sin. This will represent our sin. It is blocking our relationship. But when Christ died, it says here that the iniquity of us all was laid on him. He took it. And the only way that that transition can affect our lives is if we recognize our need for saving and we confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord, the Son of God, our leader, and our Savior, the one who forgives, the one who redeems, the one who rescues. Now, we probably think, a lot of people think back in the time when Jesus rose from the dead, people tended to be a little on the superstitious side, so they would immediately believe in the resurrection of the dead. That was a hard sell. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Many people didn't believe in anything after death. So when the Apostle Paul was writing to them about the importance about the resurrection, he wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," who is Peter, "and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep, some have died." So what he is saying here is, you know, listen, folks, he's appeared to a lot of people, and you could actually talk to them. "Then he appeared to James," who's the half-brother of Jesus, "and then to all the apostles. And at last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born." And for the Apostle Paul, he didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He sought to stop that rumor. He sought to stop the church by persecuting it. But something changed his mind, and that was the encounter with the resurrected Jesus. And then he continues on in verse 12. "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is a resurrection of the dead?" Again, there are people that just would not believe this. "If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. So if no one can be raised, then Christ can't be raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ, they're gone. They're lost. Nothing. So if Christ did not raise from the dead, then why are we here? You could have slept in. But the Apostle Paul lays out this important fact that he did. People saw him. And the very fact that he rose from the dead means that we are no longer lost in our sins. It means that he has had victory over the death. And he continues that later on in this chapter. And he says this, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and immortal with immortality. He's talking about the coming of Jesus Christ when our corporal bodies that have deceased are resurrected and we're joined back with them and our bodies will be glorified. He says we will be changed. And basically what he's telling us is that life in Christ is greater than death. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written comes true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. When Jesus came out of that grave, he swallowed death. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says that when all of this is accomplished, death has been swallowed up in victory, it will no longer have a sting. Still has a sting, but it's been greatly reduced. Because when we lose a loved one, it stings. But if we know that that loved one has had faith in Christ, place his or her faith in him, knowing that they were lost and needing redeeming and trusted Christ, taken away their sin through his death, burial, and resurrection, then the sting is not so bad. And for us, we recognize that we were once wandering, we were once lost, and the sting of death was full force. But if we confess our sin, confess our need for the Savior, confess him as our Lord, and believe that he rose from the dead, that we will be saved. And then he has already given us the victory that will one day be fully realized. This is why we celebrate Easter. This is why we celebrate every time we gather, but especially today. Because Jesus Christ demonstrated that not only did he have power to forgive sin, but he's demonstrated the permanence of that forgiveness because he overcame death. And he dwells forever. And we will one day dwell with him also.